scripture?
Yes, sir.
I got the thumbs up. So, you know, like they say, I ain't never made but one mistake in my life, and when I seen it, I done corrected it. All right, praise the Lord. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious and holy word. Would you be seated, please? There always seems to be a bit of turmoil. I don't know about any other preachers, but there is with me, when I have to stand before his people, because I always pray and ask for the right message. For folks mostly our age, it's sometimes very difficult because the scriptures are so familiar. But at the same time, I think many times, at least this is the way it is with me, even though the scriptures are so familiar, sometimes in spite of it, we read and we look and we study, and suddenly there's a new truth revealed. You know, it's not by accident that the Bible is called the living word of God. Because the more we study, the more it is revealed to us. The parable that I chose this morning is one of the rich man and Lazarus. Because this particular parable answers so very many questions that arise in what I believe, I firmly believe, are the last days of earth. I would not be one bit surprised, and I expect that I will never pass away from this body. I believe that the rapture is the next great event in history. The Bible says we can know the seasons, and you look around the world today, and there are things going on today that when I was a youngster, which was years ago, you would never, ever have expected. Things that were absolutely atrocious just years ago now are broadcast for the world to see. In the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, if you study it deeply, you'll notice that first of all, let me back up for a moment. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Every parable by which Jesus taught gives us an earthly example of something. Sometimes it's things to come. Sometimes it's things that pass. Sometimes it's just for our own edification. But a parable gives us a glimpse. Because if we listen to the very voice of God audibly, now, we can hear the voice of God speaking to our hearts. But if we heard the voice of God audibly, it would be so far above our understanding. And so God, in his infinite wisdom, has given us the parables in order that we might gain a glimpse, in this case, not only the past, but in this case, the present and the future. So what we find here is the past, present, and the future. Let me put it just a little bit different. In this parable, there are three existences right now, this very second. There are three existences, and you will be in one of the three. There are those that have died and been buried. There are those that are still here on earth. And there are those that have died and are carried to Abraham's bosom. Now, whenever the scripture talks about Abraham's bosom, talking about the presence of God, Abraham's bosom represents the peace. Abraham's bosom represents the comfort that we all seek. I mean, I'm not going to gloss it over, folks. Life on earth is hard. You know it, and I know it. Every person in here has experienced a loss. A loved one, cherished. A difficult time in their lives. What a tragedy occurs that every day or so in the news, we hear of someone who has been so depressed, someone who has been so down on themselves and given up on the world that they take their own lives. And I cannot even imagine anyone being in that depth of depression. You know, it's beyond my comprehension. Because, yeah, things are tough. Yeah, I've lost loved ones. But I've also experienced the mountaintop. You know, I've been right there on top of the mountain and literally, within my heart, heard the voice of God. I remember up on top of Mount Cadillac one day. Fortunately, it was nice and cold. The wind was off the ocean. I was dressed for the weather. People would pull up to the top of the precipice there at Cadillac. They'd get out of their car. They had a light sweater on. They'd run over to the edge. They'd take a picture. They'd run back to their car. And I was sitting there praying. And I heard the voice of God in my heart. And he revealed to me what I needed to do. And I think probably for once in my life I listened to him. And I did it. And all things come out well. But I was sitting on top of that mountain and I was singing every praise chorus I could think of at the top of my voice. And of course you've heard me sing, so you know. But I didn't scare anybody away because they didn't stay that long. But I was dressed for the weather. And so I was properly prepared for that experience. I had prayed up. I was quiet for a few minutes. I heard his instruction. And I started praising God because I knew it was directly from him here on earth. But this old rich man, he had all of the riches that you can ever imagine. He probably had more money than he could spend. I know he had more money than sense. But he died. And the scripture records for us that he was buried. His body went into the ground. But his spirit went into Hades, hell. The only problem is that hell and the Hades that he went into is temporary. It's not permanent. It's only a temporary place. But it's eternal torment. If you haven't read that whole parable, and what you need to do is you need to read all of 19 through 31. I wasn't going to do that this morning, but I want you to, when you get home, take a few minutes. It won't take long. And read that entire parable and see just exactly what transpired. This rich man, he had everything in the world to live for, but he still died. How many of you have heard the old expression, "I've never seen a trailer hitch on a hearse"? Somebody was talking at the funeral of a very wealthy individual, and somebody asked the question, "Well, I wonder how much he left." Somebody else said, "Everything." Because you can't take it with you. Naked into this world you came, and naked you will go out. But this old boy, he died. His body went into the ground, but his spirit went on to hell. And he was down in hell, and he looked up, and he saw Lazarus, this man who had gone through life with absolutely nothing. He didn't even have a clean Band-Aid to put on his sores. The dogs came and licked the sores in order to clean them. He was willing to accept the crumbs that fell on the floor under the rich man's table. That's all I asked for. Just a crumb of bread. We don't know if he got it or not, because it doesn't say. But when he died, he was carried to Abraham's bosom, or the presence of God, right into the blessed peace and comfort that he was seeking here on earth and could not find. None of us will find the total peace and comfort that we will in that last moment. The moment that we die, our fate is sealed. We have two places to go, heaven or hell. And make no mistake about it, hell is a place to avoid. I remember hearing a well-known evangelist talk about the illustration of when there was a very wealthy individual, and Satan appeared to him, and he says, "You've got all kinds of money, you've got all kinds of possessions, you've got all kinds of stuff here on earth." He says, "But that's not the half of it." He says, "Let me show you something." So Satan took him down to Hades. And the elevator opened up, and there was all of his friends partying, having a good old time. It was like Club Med, They had all the food and drink, and they were all dancing and jumping up and down and having a good old time. They got back in the elevator and started up, and Satan says, "Now that's not all that bad, is it?" The old boy says, "Nope, sure ain't. Not what I've heard." So a week later, the gentleman passed away and got in the elevator. Down into Hades they went, and the door opened, and there was nothing but fire, flames, pain, screaming, agony, torture. And the gentleman looked at Satan and he says, "Wait a minute," he says, "this is not what you showed me last week." He says, "What happened?" Satan looked at him and said, "Well, last week you were a candidate. Today you're permanent party." Satan Satan can make. Satan's the gifted liar. He can make you believe anything that he wants to make you believe, unless your spirit is in tune with God. And if your spirit is in tune with God, Satan cannot make you believe anything. You can do the same thing I do when Satan starts bugging me. And he does. I just turn around and look at him and say, Satan, you go right back to hell where God created for you. You don't have nothing to do with me. Now, he's the only one you can tell that to. I caught heck one day because I said that from the pulpit. This little old lady told me at the end of the sermon, she says, Preacher, you ought not talk like that from the pulpit. I said, no, wait a minute. I said, that's not my words, that's God's words. You tell Satan to go right back where he came from. You tell him to bug off. And you mean it. She finally acquiesced and told me I was right. But hell is only temporary. The hell this rich man, is in. Because it says in the scripture, well, let's look in 2 Peter for a second. See if I can find it here. All right, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So this old earth that we're on right now is going to dissolve. And along with that is Hades, or hell, because that's only temporary. The lake of fire will be revealed at the very end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ here on earth. The lake of fire. Now, I often wondered about that lake of fire, someplace that burns forever and is never consumed. But I was in an astronomy class, not astrology, astronomy class in college. And I learned that our sun, sooner or later, will go supernova, which means it's going to explode or implode within itself. And when it does so, it's going to be over 1,000,000 times hotter than it is right now. Well, once that sun implodes, and it's 1,000,000 times hotter, what do you think is going to happen to the earth? You know, we're on this earth, we're blessed. God knew what he was doing. He put us the exact distance from the sun that we needed to be for survival. But when that sun supernovas, everything that you see now is going to melt instantly. It's going to disappear. Including Hades, which is, some say, in the center of the earth. Could be, I don't know. If you look at these volcanoes that are erupting and how hot that lava is, you get a pretty good idea. I burned an ankle one time and I was on crutches for 2 months. And I mean, it hurt. How many of you have ever had a burn, a scald? I stepped in a pan of boiling water and flipped the whole pan up on my ankle. And as I pulled my sock off, the skin come right off with it. And I was on crutches for 2 months. And I tell you what, that pain was absolutely horrendous. So I cannot even fathom the idea of being in a fire and feeling the heat, feeling the burn, but never have it quenched. Never to have it put out and never be consumed. That must be absolutely atrocious. But the earth is going to disappear. We're put on earth for one reason. God knows what that reason is, why you're here. The first and foremost reason that you're here is to make a decision as to whether you will follow the rich man into Hades or you will follow Lazarus into Abraham's bosom. So hell that exists right now, this very moment, study this parable, folks. It tells you that the rich man, when he was buried, his spirit descended into hell. That means it's right now, right this very second. But then the rich man goes further than that. He says, okay, Abraham, he says, send Lazarus to dip his finger in cooling water and quench my tongue for it's burning. Abraham says, I can't do that because between us is a great gulf that no one can span. The water that the rich man was talking about is the water of life. He who drinks this living water will never thirst. Amen? He says, okay, if you can't do that, at least send him halfway. Send him back to earth. Because I got 5 brothers who are all living the same way I did. You send Lazarus back and you have Lazarus tell them so that they can change and be comforted as Lazarus is being comforted. Abraham said, nope. He says, I can't do that either. He says, they have Moses and the prophets. And today we have the entire Word of God. We've got the whole Bible from cover to cover. Abraham says, let them believe the prophets. He says, they wouldn't believe even if one came back from the dead. And you know, he was talking about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ himself came back from the dead. And they didn't believe him. The Jews spread the word that the disciples had come by night and stolen his body. And that's, they believe Satan's fib. But they wouldn't believe the truth that Jesus Christ himself came back from the dead to show you and I that we can resurrect. We're not going to live a perfect, sinless life, folks. I've often told people, if you're looking for perfection, don't look at me. I'm simply a human being, flawed in every way. But at least God gave me the ability on October 29th, 1976, to get on my knees in the living room of my home with my wife and her pastor and ask the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness to seal my soul under the day of redemption. And the Bible says, ask and ye shall, that's a positive, folks, shall receive. That's an absolute. You know, there's only one thing that's absolute in life. When I was growing up, how many of you heard the old expression, well, there's only two absolutes in life, death and taxes? Wrong. You don't have to pay your taxes. You can go to jail. It's your choice. But if the Lord tarries and doesn't return, death is assured that each and every one of us one day will pass away from this earth. But like I said earlier, I don't believe that I'll ever see the grave. I think that the Lord Jesus Christ is on his way. I think that the mark of the days are here. Look at the news. You can't escape it. But you know something? We may not be able to escape it, but we can endure it. We can endure it because the Lord Jesus Christ can give you the strength that you yourself lack. Every one of us sin and come short of the glory of God. If there's one person that could live a perfect, sinless life in the flesh, then Jesus Christ died for nothing. But no one can measure up. But the beauty is, we don't have to. The beauty is, Jesus Christ knows who you are. He knows your flaws better than you know yourself. The scripture says that we put on the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Jesus' righteousness is enough to cover you. Jesus' righteousness is what covered Lazarus that day when he was being comforted. Eternal bliss, eternal peace, and most of all, eternal security. That's the one thing in life that is guaranteed. That if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Scripture says, ask. I can pray that God would reveal himself to people. I can pray that God will reveal himself to those I love. But all the prayer on earth cannot save a single person by prayer except their own. I can pray for them. I can pray with them. But they have to make the final choice. You cannot... How many of you heard the old expression? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But if the horse doesn't drink, he's going to die of thirst. It's up to him to drink that water. You can push his nose down in the trough, and you can drown that horse. But you can't make him drink it. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I have come that you may have life. Romans chapter 6 says that salvation is the free gift of God. There are no strings attached. You come to Jesus as you are. He knows you anyhow. Someone told me this week that they were very angry with God. And I said, well, have you told him? And they said, what do you mean? I said, have you talked it over with him? I said, you're angry with him. I said, have you talked to him about it? Well, you can't do that. I said, why not? Why not? He knows your heart. He knows what you're thinking. Tell him. And then sit back and listen for the still small voice. Because God's not going to hit you in the head with an anvil. And the problem with salvation, the only problem that I found with salvation is the first time you hear it, nice and loud. And each time you hear salvation afterwards, it gets softer and softer. Why? How many of you know familiarity breeds contempt? You are so familiar with it. You heard it so much. My father-in-law, former father-in-law, at one point in his life, said, don't even mention the word Jesus to me, period. I don't want to hear it anymore. And then one day, on a Sunday afternoon, I was filling in the pulpit for my pastor. And after the service was over, Nancy came to me and she says, "Just after you left for church, Daddy called and wants to see you right away." So I left. I put the deacon in charge of the back door to get the exit pole. You know how that goes. And I rushed to the hospital. I walked in that room, and there he was. He was a quadriplegic because of an accident. He looked at me. He says, "Keith, what must I do to be saved?" Before I even said a word. And that was like 7-8 years after he came out with the statement, "Don't even mention the name Jesus to me anymore." He said, "Keith, what must I do to be saved?" He knew, because he had heard it. And the problem is, he heard it so much from one of his sons that he did not even want to hear anymore. He had become so turned off. But when he knew that the end was near, when he knew that he was in Lazarus' shoes, he knew his only hope, his only salvation was Jesus Christ. And that day, Vernon Lucas accepted the Lord as his personal Savior. Your life, folks, is the best and the most effective sermon anyone around you will ever hear. It really is. Don't think you have to be perfect. Remember, God does not call the equipped, but God equips the call. And he will clothe you in the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ, because you were willing to admit that you're not all perfect. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you, O God, for this day. Thank you for the time that you've given us together. We just pray earnestly, O God, that if there be one here this morning that has never made public a call to salvation, I pray that this would be the hour that they would accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that they would receive the blessed assurance of Lazarus, that when their turn comes, that they shall indeed be ushered into your very presence. So thank you, dear Lord, in the name of Christ. Amen. Would you rise as we sing?